The final piece that he's going to sing is a hymn that he wrote. And this whole summer, we're going to have wonderful guest musicians, so I hope you come each Sunday, because there are a lot of wonderful guests coming. The Service League has their event coming up in 2 weeks, and I want to remind people to help out. And also, I wanted to mention this morning, I didn't say this last week because it slipped my mind, and the choir was singing, and there was so much going on, but we had a vacation Bible camp here, and boy, was it amazing. 17 kids came, and I know that Cindy and Fiona were exhausted every night when they went home. We also had a guest Bible man, Jack Brown, who came in every day and told Bible stories in costume, so she's going to just mention a little bit about that.
As Janet said, we had a fabulous week of Vacation Bible School with lots of children running all over the building, and we learned 5 stories in the life of Jesus with the help of Bible Story Man, and we had a lot of singing with Marge Fuller, and we had crafts and games with Fiona, and I would like to thank all of the people that helped out with that week. We had Joan Nimmo, Marge Fuller, Nell Ezekiel. Janet McKinstry and her husband Doug Schmolze did some music for us with puppets. Jack Brown, Anna Grace Nimmo was a student helper, and I'd like to do a special thank you to our young adult helpers, Fiona Brown, Ella Formel, Keen Decker, and Blaine Decker. We could not have done it without those 4 young people. And we had a puppet show every day with a beautiful marionette theater that Janet McKinstry has made. I don't know if it's still out there, but if you saw it last week, it was just gorgeous, and the marionettes that she made also, and the kids just love that every day. So we had a great time.
Is there an age limit on that Bible camp for next year?
Well, officially it's age 11, but anyone older than 11 can come as a helper.
Okay. Are there any other announcements this morning? Okay. Oh boy, it's creeping up fast. Okay. Thank you. All right, let us then continue in worship, listening to our introit.
Please join with me in reading the call to worship found on page 1 of your church bulletins. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song.
Sing to the Lord, all the earth.
Sing to the Lord, bless his name, tell of his salvation from day to day.
Let the heavens give
Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with his truth. Let us pray the prayer of invocation. Like the sun that is far away and yet close at hand to warm us, so God's Spirit is ever present and around us. Come, Creator, into our lives. We live and move and have our very being in you. Open now the windows of our souls. Amen. Our opening hymn may be found on page 251 of your hymnals. Your faithfulness, O Lord, is sure. Please stand. Thank you. Please be seated. Thank you. Our Hebrew scripture this morning is from Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 9, and it may be found on page 9 of your pew Bibles. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abram took his wife Sarah and his brother's son Lot and all the possessions that they had gathered and the persons whom they had acquired in Haran. And they set forth to go to the land of Canaan. When they had come to the land of Canaan, Abram passed the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built there an altar to the Lord, who had appeared to him. From there he moved on to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and invoked the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on by stages towards the Negev. And may the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word.
And the second scripture reading comes from one of the letters of Paul, the epistle, from the letter to the Hebrews. And it's about faith. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith, our ancestors received approval. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he set out, not knowing where he was going. And by faith, he stayed for a time in the land he had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, he received power of procreation, even though he was too old, and Sarah herself was barren, because he considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one person, and this one as good as dead, descendants were born, as many as the stars of heaven and as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. All of these died in faith without having received the promises, but from a distance they saw and greeted them. They confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on the earth, for people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land that they had left behind, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Indeed, he has prepared a city for them. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. We can live many days on end just doing the things that we do, going to work, going to meetings, getting the children off to school, trying to keep our calendar straight, thinking about what we're going to have for dinner. But then there are times in our life when we're confronted with a crisis. In times of crisis, the very foundation of our life is questioned. And we have to answer with what faith we have. Now, I'm not talking about the kind of day-to-day faith where we call upon God to get us through, like saying, please, God, let me get to work on time, or please, God, don't let me get caught for speeding, or please, God, don't let me run into so-and-so, and of course, that always happens. No, I'm talking about a real crisis of faith, a moment that leads us to an altering decision in our life. I remember when I was a child, the moment when I came to this crisis, and I really had to question God. I was 9 years old, and my best friend Richie died of leukemia. And I not only questioned why God would allow my friend to die, but I also began to question the sanity of my father's profession. If there is no God, then someone please be kind enough to tell my dad that he's been fooled. Someone has to tell him that he's given his life to professing something that doesn't exist. But the thing is that my dad seemed very wise and a very sane person. He seemed so sure, and his voice was so assuring and reassuring in the way he spoke about God, as if he knew him personally. So perhaps I began to think at that young age that he saw something I just couldn't see. And so I chose in faith to believe that as well. Faith, in the words of Paul, is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. The Lilly Foundation has given the United Church of Christ a grant to form support groups for all young or all new pastors in the ministry. And I've been in a support group for the past 4 years in Longmeadow. And I remember a couple years ago, our leader of that group brought in some of his seasoned parishioners to come and give and question us. You know, and I was expecting questions like, why did you go to seminary? Or, after you spent 4 years in seminary and become a pastor, how do you think you're going to pay for those student loans? Or how do you prepare for your sermons? But woman asked this. She said, I'm elderly. My years are limited, and I know that. And I'm not sure if I believe in God anymore. Help me. I'm not sure if I have faith anymore. And I was both in awe of her ability to ask such an honest question and terrified to answer it at the same time. We assume that because we come to church every Sunday that we have faith. And we're UCC Congregationalists as well, so we feel comfortable talking about social action and social justice, but when it comes to deep questions of faith, that's really tricky for us. And faith is not always rock solid in our lives. For me, it has ups and downs. In difficult situations, we can sometimes lose faith altogether. The faith that we thought was so solid in our lives, we question, we doubt. And I reminded the woman of the man that said to Jesus, I believe, help my unbelief, in the same sentence. And of the disciples who witnessed Jesus transformed on the top of the mountain and heard God say, this is my son, my beloved. But then later were chastised by their little faith. Stronger in us than faith, I feel most of the time, is fear and doubt. Perhaps we are even afraid of faith because our faith may require us to make changes in our lives, perhaps in drastic ways, and that is very frightening. Abraham was 75 years old when he was called, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to a land I will show you. Now imagine you going to a friend today who's 75 and you find them packing and you say, where are you moving to? And they say, I don't know. God's going to tell me. You'd question their sanity. Faith is a frightening thing. I can identify with Jonah, who bolted to the ocean when he heard God calling him. Prophets are caught between a rock and a hard place. They're doomed if they don't. And if they do, they're answering to a difficult task. In my mid-20s, I decided to go to seminary. And I moved to Boston with my husband, and we lived just a walking distance from the seminary and from his law school. But it was really difficult for us to pay for both of our educations, so I dropped out, and we had a daughter. And for several years, I never thought again about going back to seminary. I put that back in my mind, and then we moved to the Berkshires. And then I'll never forget this. One morning, I woke up in a cold sweat. And I knew that I could not go on with my life unless I went back to seminary. It was 9 years later. Only this time now I had to travel 4 hours back and forth to Boston. And I had to find childcare for my daughter. It was not an easy road. Had it been those years ago, it would have been much simpler. There is no security in this world, though. Our bodies will fail us. We will not get out alive. So why not live dangerously a life serving God that is filled with meaning than a life lived in fear and hiding? So many of us want to play it safe, to go through the motions. so that we don't have to think what is right and deeply question it. But so many of us also are depressed and don't know why. We're tired, we can't sleep, we're bored, we've lost a sense of purpose. We spend our time watching action movies passively because it's safe to dream and see how other people live and think we're doing it as well. But Abram answered the call at 75, so why can't you? The stakes are high today. The challenges our world faces are immense. But Jesus said, if you have faith like a mustard seed, you can move mountains. Do you have faith in that saying? With faith, all things are possible. No small act done by faith is too small. Simple acts that we do in faith have great consequences. And we all know this. How many of us have been in a bad mood or facing terrible things, and a friend just calls and says, hello. And all of a sudden, everything turns. It's as if mountains were taken away from you. Small acts made in faith make a big difference. As a church, when we respond to a crisis and work together in faith, amazing amounts of energy are created. I've seen it in this church. Each one of us is being called right now by God. Will you respond with faith? With faith, we can move mountains. Amen. And so let us continue worshiping, singing, My Faith Looks Up to Thee, number 383.
Thank you.
You may be seated. So this is a time when we bring our joys and we bring our concerns and we lift them to God in prayer. Are there any joys that you'd like to share this morning? Michelle. Ah. Welcome. And she specifically asked for prayers of gratitude for all of you who have been so gracious and helpful for her. Are there any other joys? Jackie. Oh, wonderful. And are there people that you'd like to mention, remember by name this morning? Joan Solvent. Salva. Selva. Joan Selva. So we'll enter into a prayer in words, and then we'll enter into a time of silent meditation and conclude with the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray. O God of many names, lover of all nations, we pray for peace. Peace in our hearts, in our homes, in our nations, in our world. Hear our prayers this morning for all those who are suffering, those bearing the burden of illness or pain, those struggling to make financial ends meet, for those who feel lost, abandoned, or forsaken, those struggling with faith. Draw near to them with your comfort and strength, and give them the assurance that by sharing in their suffering, you also share with them your peace. Help us, O God, to trust in you, to see more clearly your love for humanity. And so fill us with your love so that we may gladly live our lives whole in you. Hear our prayers that we mention by name this morning, our prayers of gratitude for our new minister of music, Sarah, and her future here. May we be of support and help to her and embrace her on her new journey with our church. Our continued prayers for Joyce and for Ronnie and the gratitude that they feel, feeling so welcomed and loved by our church. And for Jackie being a new grandmother to be soon, and for all of the family, our family who are not here this morning worshiping with us, hear our prayers for Joan and for Jane, and their healing and wholeness. And oh God, there are certain prayers that are just too deep for words. And so we take that time right now from the depths of our hearts in silent meditation, that you know what's on our hearts even before we can say. Let us take a moment in silence. Let us then join our hearts together in the prayer that our Lord taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.